Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's showtime, folks!
This is where the big boys play, huh?
Woo! And look at Goldberg! He's ready!
Oh, hell yeah! It's going to be the biggest battleground in the history of our sport.
Look at that. There we are. Once again. God, it's like we're stuck in a vortex. Welcome. Still going. Any more?
There's something I want to talk about. We'll start off with. But
Coldaholic Classic, Nitro Review, WWE, Tom Campbell, WWE, Nitro Kid, Sam Driver. Go.
Early on in this episode, right, we're going to fucking get to this, so much shit happens this week. Early on in this episode, they show you that Ric Flair was attacked backstage 2 weeks ago. That feels like a fucking lifetime ago.
Time does not count on Nitro.
No, but like that I was like, oh yeah, that was like a month ago. It's like 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, there's been two episodes since. Like that's it.
Well, bear in mind that we had our Christmas break.
Yeah, but
so that
still
does add a bit on.
It still feels like it was a lot longer story-wise than that.
When it comes to Monday Nitro, as I have discovered, Sam, time is a construct of human perception. And sometimes it can go dead quick, and sometimes a minute can last a day.
Yeah.
It is a broad spectrum. I'm in a seemingly endless struggle with an Every Driver this week.
A what?
A driver for the delivery company Evri.
Oh, right.
Formerly Hermes.
Why?
Because we're getting a laundry basket delivered, right. And it was the delivery date was changed by a week due to, I think, issues getting it into the country.
Yeah.
I guess.
Is it made of black tar heroin?
Might be made of black tar heroin. No.
Issues getting it into the country.
Not this one, at least. As far as I know, I mean, that might be a surprise when it finally arrives. So we ordered it and they said unable to deliver it because they were meant to deliver it on a Wednesday and they went, surprise, we're dropping it off on a Monday and no one's here.
Yeah, they've done that to me twice.
Buggers.
I think the only recourse is to basically just wait. Lie in wait with a fucking massive golf club. Yeah. And when he finally drops it off, just whack him around the back of the knees six, seven times.
We're yet to meet up because then the follow-up, they said, oh, we'll try again tomorrow.
Tell him you'll deliver him to the hospital and then just go inside.
No.
Take his handbrake off and let it roll down the back of the hill as well. Help yourself to the PS5s in the back and all. just go wild.
They're just falling out as they go. But it's just, and the one laundry basket for me. And then the next day I come back and there's a little blue note that says, we try to deliver, but essentially your safe place isn't safe enough. Doesn't adhere to our standards of safety. I'm like, but I told you to leave.
You have zero fucking standards. That's why you had to rebrand.
And do you know what's more annoying? Is that I went online to reset the delivery again. And you can see the timeline. You can see the timeline of like shipped, delivered, attempted delivery, right? The delivery driver took a photo of the item in the place I'd asked them to leave it.
And then took it back.
And then took it away again. leave it there.
My favorite game that they like to play is, oh, I can't be fucked. I'm going to pull up outside the house and just say that you weren't there because I guess I'm being GPS tracked. So I'm going to just park up for a second and then drive off. And it's like, right, okay. If I catch you again, going to knife all your tires. Let's see how many deliveries you make for the rest of today.
I might get you on this guy. I feel like I'd get the thing delivered.
Just find out his home address, Tom. Stalk him. Ring him with a voice modulator on.
His name is Keith. No, don't. Let's not.
Dox him.
Let's dox
Give
Keith.
Me his phone number. We'll ring him up at 3 a.m. We'll shit him up. We'll be like, We know you got the basket.
Where's my laundry basket, Keith?
I'm watching you, Keith.
Fucking livid.
Fucking watching
just
you,
just want a laundry basket.
You want to be careful, Keith.
Because it's brought my future marriage into question.
Yeah.
Right? Because Alex said to me the night, are you sure you ordered it? I said, yes, I did.
Now
I
it's a matter of principle. You've definitely got to go old school Italian vendetta on him. You've got to just, you know, make sure he sleeps with the fishes and just done. The time's just there. He needs to suffer for his discretions.
Just, like, I think I might have to. Just the fact that it nearly led to a wedding being cancelled. Just a laundry basket. They do this thing now on Amazon.
Yeah.
When, I don't know whether you bought anything from there recently, where if it's something for a household, there's like a 3D viewer where you can see what it would look like in your house.
Yeah, they've been doing that for like glasses and loads of stuff for a while now. IKEA's got one, I think, as well.
But I think the one I had was a bit broken because it's like, view your laundry basket. And we were like, okay, so we were in bed.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, view laundry. This is when we ordered it. And so you shoot in the corner where you need it to be. And we couldn't see it until I scanned up. And this 30-foot laundry basket was over the top of us.
This is it. Like, it's just...
No, it's too big!
Do you know what really fucked me off this week?
Go on.
What really fucked me off this week?
And it's
tech related, right?
Right.
I listen to a lot, and I tweeted about this anyway. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but like Spotify exclusive podcasts for some reason are full of adverts. Like, not like I get ad reads, right? I understand that. If we're reading and promoting another podcast done by the same network, fine.
You heard what I mean. Advert.
You heard us talking about it. But it's when Spotify use their own Spotify Studios output to just sell me BBC programs.
Ooh.
And like hard ad breaks. And I'm like, why am I paying for exclusivity? Like, I'm paying for no ads. Why am I getting adverts?
Do you get like video ones?
I get like just interrupt middle of a sentence. Boom, here's a new thing from BBC TV. And I'm like, ooh. I don't fucking want to listen. I just want to listen to what I'm talking about. I want to listen and talk about Eisenhower knowing about aliens and shit. I don't want to fucking know about some show on BBC. But it wasn't that. It was an advert that was shown to me on that, and it was for Expedia or Xperia or whichever fucking one is the travel holiday one. No, this is
it's like you get one on Spotify for Atoll.
Yeah, where it's like, make sure your holiday is protected. Actually do that because it's really fucking bad if you don't. But this advert was for like one of these travel companies, and it was essentially like, you don't even need to think anymore. And I was like, right, we're there now. We're already there. So like, they're like, oh, just come to the website and talk to our ChatGPT robot window and we'll tell you what holiday you want.
Oh,
and we'll tell
no.
you what holiday you can afford. And we'll tell you what your trip's going to be. And it's just like, well, that's where we are now.
Oh, no.
We're listening to them.
Don't
we're done.
Like it. Don't
plot
like
of
it.
Land, 12 acres at best, couple of shotguns, electrified fence, high-speed internet connection, and a watchtower. That's what I need. Maybe a moat.
I like this. What was that?
A moat on the other side of the electric fence. And then, oh God, no, it's electrified the moat. Shit, I didn't mean for it to do that.
I could seriously see us doing the final episode of the Nitro Review from your electrified gated community.
Yeah. Oh, there'll be no community. I'm not fucking trusting people. Like, you want to live near me, fine, but you've got to live at least like 30 miles away. Like, if I'm going off grid, I'm going off grid.
I'm wondering, right? We'll get to Nitro in a minute, I promise. I wonder if it's me, right? Because you have a future planned where you want to live in a gated house.
I don't want that.
That's like, as
preppers would call it, a shit hits the fan situation.
All right, okay.
Where will you be when SHTF, Tom? no, like essentially, I joke about it, but I would happily live in a very remote area if I had to. I always thought, like, if I end up like a bitter old lonely man with nobody, I'll just live in a lighthouse or something.
I say, is it me? Because we spoke about a similar thing with Jack Atkins, and he said that if he won the lottery, he'd just go feral, go live in the woods and never speak to people again. And I'm wondering whether I'm the divine constant here. Do I just put people off other people?
I don't know, if I could, I don't think it'll be a community, but if I could afford a couple of people with some big guns to just walk around the outside of my fence, that'd be quite nice.
You can always chat with them about the weather.
Yeah. Or wait for the postman to arrive, get one of them American-style post boxes where they've got to put the little flag up and down. And whenever he puts the flag up, I just shoot it down. Just after he's taken his hand out, just to let him know, don't fuck with me and don't deliver my shit anywhere else. You know where it needs to be.
Well, just get it through Every. It'll never fucking turn up.
No, the Everyman will be... they'll disappear mysteriously. But I'll have a nice collection of Every vans on the property. It'll be good.
And just and
every just a barn full of them. You know, like American Pickers, where you find a van full of like Chevys, and they're like, these are all like rotting away and covered in blood, and there's like a whole high heel in that one. And is that a human skeleton? And it's like, oh, you know, I just found these and I just started collecting them. You murdered all those people.
There's another widow knocking at the door.
Yeah. Open the little. That's the goal. Is to have the little like door slit where it's like, fuck off.
We're doing a podcast on the Every murders. Fuck off. 1996.
I did them. What?
Say that again.
They should have delivered my fucking shit on time. Now get off my land.
I'm a simple beast. Just and deliver
then,
my shit.
And then you flip a switch and then above the door, like, I don't know, like an anvil falls or a piano. Or like, I don't like spiders.
It's Wile E. Coyote now.
Yeah. Coming it around. Can't all be like just pointing guns at people. No, and you threatening them to stay off your land.
Get creative.
Yeah, every now and then you got to shoot one of them in the knee to really send a message.
Hey, look, let's go back to 1996, where the art of delivering something will be 7 to 10 days, and it might turn up.
Oh, yeah. What were the times?
How things change, and yet they stay the same. Let's go back to October 21st, 1996, for this week's episode of Nitro. In the boring real world, number one UK movie is still The Nutty Professor. Eddie Murphy and all his family.
It's a film.
It's of a time. The number one US movie is Sleepers.
Yay.
A prank that goes disastrously wrong sees a group of boys sent to a detention center where they are brutalized. 13 years later, an unexpected yet random encounter with a former guard gives them a chance for revenge. Starring Kevin Bacon, Jason Patrick, Brad Pitt, Robert De Niro, Dustin Hoffman, Minnie Driver, and a cast of others.
This has been the plot of about 58 million sitcom episodes, hasn't it?
Or getting together for revenge.
Yeah.
With hilarious results.
You were the high school bully. You were the prison guard. You were the old boss. And yeah.
Yeah.
Get the revenge.
That's it. But this is a heavyweight cast for that, even in this time. Macarena, number one in America. Yeah.
Of course.
And number one in the UK charts is Boyzone with Words.
I was wondering when they were going to fucking show up.
Like an Every driver. They're at my door now and I'm about to kill them.
Better than Westlife, though.
Yeah? You prefer Boyzone to Westlife?
Boyzone, they've got a better logo and everything.
They're
like a circular logo that looked like it could turn into a bit of a cult or gang or government movement, whereas Westlife was more just like, it's for your mam or it's a wedding band. It just said it in like chrome font, whereas theirs, they at least had something that looked like it could be militaristic.
Do you know that one member of Boyzone and one member of Westlife tour together now?
Really?
Called Boys Life.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
Nice.
They played the Hilton in Gateshead recently. It's going well. Words is a cover of the Bee Gees song of the same name from 1967.
What? No.
Music Week gave it 3 out of 5. Just when everyone had readied themselves for Boyzone's ascent to megastardom, they go and release their worst single to date. It'll still be a massive hit, but this cover of the Bee Gees' 1968 hit is terribly uninspired.
He just finishes the review with, "This doesn't make me want to go anywhere near their Boyzone." Because ultimately, the name is pretty fucking great, isn't it?
It is pretty horrible.
Would you like to come and see my Boyzone?
That's a it's an
Tom,
offer.
Do you want to look at my Boyzone?
I mean, we can do it after.
We can. Oh, yeah.
See. Rather see your Green Hill Zone. Oh, it's a Sonic the Hedgehog joke. He's done it.
Shaved down, mate. I don't...
makes
you
it look,
wait a
it
bit.
Makes it look bigger, doesn't it? You know it's true!
Got to get the green paint out and everything. You know it takes time to prepare that one.
You got those at Warhammer paint sets.
Got a Lego Sonic to run across it.
It's a good day in the neighborhood. The day before this episode of Nitro aired, Fox broadcast its first ever World Series. And I can tell you that America won. Well done, America. You've won every World Series.
I do think there should be Japanese teams at least involved in the World Series, considering that Japan is also a massive baseball nation.
There be other teams outside of America?
You know what they're like.
It was the Yankees that won, by the
way.
Nothing
exists outside their own confines.
Yeah, America.
And anything that does exist outside their own confines isn't very good, even though they only consume and
own things built by everywhere else but American hands. But, you know, just
Sam Driver.
Canada's better than you lot.
Oh, Sam Driver dropping you.
And Mexico. Mexico puts you to fucking shame. California is the best. If you're a Southerner, that'll piss you off. Texas is the best. If you're a Californian, that'll probably piss you off. Yeah. Just hedging my bets. New York rules. New York's fucking shit.
But I think if you live in New York, they'd agree with both. Sam Driver, drop in America like the U in color. Well done to the Yankees. 23rd title against the Braves. Well done. That was on telly. Meanwhile, wrestling. It's expected that the AAA wrestlers working for WCW, according to the Wrestling Observer this week, are going to be giving their notice this coming week to leave AAA for Promo Azteca Promotions after the split between Antonio Pena and Conan. That was my shoe, by the way.
It was your shoe. I thought it was like electrical.
Like a little mouse. Like, what the fuck? My shoe made the following noise. And it was either electrical or maybe a little mouse. Promo Azteca Promotions.
WCW's getting a lot here out of the AAA talents. So it's not surprising that there's going to be some sort of eventual like, well, what the fuck, guys? So I think that, you know, ultimately it's not going to be a main thing. So it's going to kind of... there's going to be a bigger deal in America. So they're going to stay, but this is just what you've got to expect out of any sort of business relationship, right? It's always a two-way street. Everybody's always vying for, you know, getting the better end of the deal. And if they feel like they're being screwed, they're going to try and pull. So
basically, besides Conan, according to the Observer, expected to leave AAA, Super Calo, or Rey Mysterio Jr.
How are we going to get by without Mr. Hat and Glasses? He was designed by a rapper, you know.
I'm Hat and Glasses. You can tell it's me by my hat and glasses. Rey Mysterio Jr., Lady Victoria, Piero Jr., Los Destructores, La Sirenita, Super Crazy, Psychosis, Juventud Guerrera, Halloween, Damien, Natasha, Mosco de la Merced, and several others.
And Ron Rees.
And Ron Rees. And Keith the Every Driver, randomly. There have been numerous problems between Conan and Pena, from the style of promotion that Conan's run in Tijuana to problems with the wrestlers that haven't been booked in WCW. They see WCW as a territory, similar to how EMLL does LA, in that all the guys get a go at a different time. But WCW are like, no, we don't want just everyone to have a go. We just want your best ones.
Forgot this was still the EMLL days.
Yeah, boy. There's also a problem with the guys working so much in WCW that they weren't available to do AAA shows. So like your main company, you know, if you work for AAA, you're going, oh, we need you for this AAA show. They go, sorry, I've got a WCW booking. Well, yeah. You work for us.
You work for us, but yeah, they're paying me more money and Eric Bischoff's got a cool motorbike that he lets me sit on sometimes. I'm not allowed to drive it, but he lets me sit on it.
There is that. Money is a big issue as well.
Until you sign Mr. JL, we are not coming back. He's a true luchador.
It came to a head when Pena took the Tijuana promotion away from Conan and they tried to patch Rey Mysterio up with AAA and came up with an angle for Mysterio to debut, saving his nephew on the October the 18th show. That never happened because of bad blood between Damien and Mysterio, stemming from Mysterio going to local newspapers and giving away the results of his Psicosis versus Ultraman mask versus mask match. So,
Rey.
Yeah.
You dog.
Naughty boy. Conan met with TV Azteca during this week. He proposed a deal to bring his entire crew of Promo Azteca Promotions to their TV network. His demands, which TV Azteca accepted, were that there be no commission to the Promo Azteca company for deals already done with the wrestlers coming in regarding either Japan or WCW. WCW have his first priority on dates with all the wrestlers that they are currently using, and the wrestlers would be free to accept bookings anywhere in the world except on shows promoted by Televisia. So this is a bit of a turf war in the Mexican wrestling scene, with WCW placed somewhere in the middle to take a full advantage of all the talent coming through.
Legit just taking advantage.
Essentially, yeah, just taking there like all a big advantage. Spider. Just WCW is a virtual lock to break all its all-time gate record this coming Sunday for Halloween. Sorry, Slim Jim Halloween.
Slim Jim
Havoc.
Presents Halloween Havoc. That's right.
Show's advance was 5,755 tickets. Because of the high ticket prices, the gate was $171,920. So it's the biggest show to this point was the EO DiPaolo Memorial House Show in Buffalo, New York, which got 193,000.
Nice.
So with about 5 days to go, they're definitely going to smash the 200K mark. So great business for Hogan and Savage. Now, I've never sit and watched Slim Jim Presents Halloween Havoc 1996.
I think I have.
So next time together, well, you can help me then, because next time
we can watch.
We're together, we're going to watch it.
Yeah.
We're going to watch it, and you're going to watch it with us.
It's fucking right.
We're going to do it.
You're going to watch it, whether you want to or not.
This week, Hogan filed a lawsuit. So this week we have an update on the Hogan lawsuit. So back in January, Hogan filed a lawsuit for extortion against Kathleen Kennedy. She's a former employee of Pasta Mania.
Isn't she the woman running Disney?
She might be now.
Or Marvel?
I don't know. At this point, she was just working at Pasta Mania, which is arguably
the same one.
Far bigger brand. And at the Mall of the, so she worked at Pasta Mania at the Mall of America. Her lawyer, Peter Johnson, saying they threatened to go to police about a sexual transgression. Now, Kennedy claimed in September of 1995, at the Bloomington Marriott Hotel, she was assaulted by Terry Bollea. And it's pretty grim. Kennedy's affidavit also states that since the day of the letter, I've been advised by others of sexual misconduct by Mr. Bollea, including specifically allegations of sexual assault on another woman. Now, Bollea's affidavit says he didn't do that and complained about getting the threatening letter on Christmas Eve, saying that the private investigator who gave him the letter apologized for serving him during the holiday season, said that he'd been expressly instructed to do so. A bit like Punk getting his P45 on his wedding day.
Yeah, Punk deserved it. So did Hogan. No, I it's one of those things where I guess, you know, like you need to, I think in some cases like this where it's like, you know, I got served on Christmas Eve. Mm. It might be that it's just the first available time it can be done, but it needs to be served immediately as soon as possible. So I don't know. Maybe it was done in order to rile him up a bit on Christmas Eve. Maybe it was just first availability. Either way, I hope it's taken seriously and that it's properly looked into.
Well, it looks like it's being thrown out.
Well,
there we go. On to Nitro! Off to Nitro we go.
We're going to start with Larry telling Randy through the camera. Randy's supposed to be here tonight, but he's not here yet, but it is early going. He is a big star. He's probably not going to be here to watch all the shit asses opening up the card. he basically says, don't trust Liz, Randy. She's a conniving bitch and she just wants your credit cards. And I said, here, Larry said so himself. So now it's time to wrestle.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Larry has been very consistent and he wants nothing to do with Liz getting back with Hogan.
He's full of ex-wife jokes tonight. It's all like, you know, that's not joy. Joy is watching your ex-wife drive off a cliff. Just randomly just peppering that in whenever he can.
This is the man. Who hurt you, Larry? I'm presuming your ex-wife. tonight, the wrestling takes place in Mankato, Minnesota, the birthplace of Happy Chef. There's Happy Chef right there.
I thought Little Chef for a second there. And it's I was like, what?
Well, it's a bit like Little Chef.
It's nothing like Little Chef.
It is because
it's not red. It's not got a little logo and it's not giving you far too many peas for one. Whenever you order anything with peas on it, they just give you a whole bag of peas. And two, it's not outrageously charged in an LA buy on the M1.
You could get breakfast anytime though. the first Happy Chef opened in 1963 in Mankato. The chain eventually grew to 65 restaurants across the Midwest, employing 3,000 people. However, as consumers increasingly patronized competitors and tastes changed to favor restaurants that offered alcohol and televisions, Happy Chef's owner leased or sold off all the restaurants but one. And the only one that remains is the original one in Mankato, which still operates to this very day in 2024.
If you live near it, get down there, buy us a burger. Each, yeah. Put them in an envelope, send them over.
Yes. If you do, oh, please do. Take a photo of yourself in there.
Yeah, and then just buy us two burgers. Cheapest envelope you can. Don't worry about anything. Just
dripping through
on
with oil.
Slap them in there, send them over.
I can't wait to
if get they wrap them like Wendy's, we might be grand, you know. They seal theirs up in foil. You're grand.
I'm buzzing to get some food poisoning in the post.
Oh, yeah.
How exciting.
It'd be class.
I'll eat it.
Just send us assorted food, unwrapped.
All right, Tom and Sam, is half a cheese and egg, cheese and ham sandwich
I've
that
licked
I had.
All of it, but I'll not tell you what part of all of it I've licked.
Opening match on the wrestling is Bobby Eaton taking on Chris Jericho.
Eaton? I think you mean Earl Robert Eaton.
I think you're wrong because he's been booted from the Blue Bloods.
Probably because he's a dirty, filthy yank.
Yeah,
what
America.
Are you about trying to be English? Yeah, get out of it. Get out of it.
Throw some tea in the
No, bit. It's that we're not English. I'm 1/15th Irish Scottish. And then they'll talk to you about it for hours.
I hope we get to go to Mania one year. And I want to be near you when, all these seeds are reaped.
from what you've sown.
Oh, all this stuff I sowed, now I've got to reap it. Rubbish.
Well, it's
bullshit.
No, I'm just saying that, like, for some reason, Americans will be like, I'm 1/15th, like, German, and I'm 1/15th Irish, and I'm 1/64th from this exact clan in Scotland. And then if you kind of say, well, is there any English in there? Then don't be silly.
For those people that say like they're 5% German and 6% Irish, they're 0% interesting. And that's why they say it.
But it's just Sorry. Like, it's when they pop up on Reddit, in subreddits going like, which clan am I from? And it's like, it's just not how it works. This isn't how it works. This isn't a thing. This isn't a thing. You were born in America. Your dad was born in America. Your mom was born in America. And you go back 5 generations. And you just America all the way down. You don't just get to magically choose a Scottish clan to be part of and be like, that's my personality. Just like I don't get to do that with an American football team.
I think you should, though.
Well, I like the Green Bay Packers, but I'm not going to just turn up in all green and gold all day going, oh my God, guys, I'm such a cheesehead.
Did you see what the Packers did? They've touched a try after down.
After everything you say, it's like, oh, it's just like when Brett Favre.
Oh, boo.
Yeah.
We did that. Because there's a Mitchell & Webb sketch where it's the guy coming in from the weekend. He goes, oh, we beat you on the weekend. I said, who's we? He said, oh, my football team. I said, why are you in it? And then he goes, do you remember in Indiana Jones where we stole the Ark of the Covenant?
Yeah.
I really like that film, so I decided I'm in it. That's brilliant.
Oh.
We're going to beat you on Saturday. No, the football team you like is going to beat the football team I like on Saturday. Told.
And they're all overpaid and they're all a bunch of bastards.
If you're still here, thank you. I think we've upset everybody, Americans, every drivers.
People who are 1/15th German.
1/15th German, Y2K apologists, employees of Happy Chef.
Y2K apologists?
Because you do talk about end of the world and shit hits the fan and all that.
Well, I think if the Millennium Bug was to make a comeback.
Is that Wolverine?
Could you imagine? It just rocks up in 2024. It's like, I'm back! Except now it's like Shodan from fucking...
That's a great, well, great film face. Idea.
The Millennium Bug.
Except it's that terrible bug thing that they used to use on the news that looks like a computer chip.
The Millennium Bug. It's back in 2024, starring Chris Pratt as the Millennium Bug.
It's on a satellite station with nuclear launch codes. There'd be so much more high stakes.
It would actually. See, you've got it as like a disaster movie. I've got it as a comedy.
Oh, I think you can.
Millennium Bug just combine to life.
You got Roland Emmerich's got to direct 2024 if it is going to happen this year.
This year, you'll do it this year.
Well, 2027 is when a lot of people are weirdly theorizing things are going to go weird, with no basis, no grounding. A lot of people are just like, just wait for 2027, and it's like, why? What it's for?
Because like, it's far away, but not. Unrealistically far away.
I guess, yeah.
It's like how, like, when I was in 1998, everyone was saying in school, like, oh, the world's going to shut down in 2000.
But we're going to have flying cars.
Yeah. But we'll also have flying cars in the hours before the world shuts down.
Well, they don't need to run off computers, so...
Exactly. I saw a TikTok, and it showed what would happen in the weeks and the months if the internet was just to stop.
Oh, we'd fucking go apeshit for about 3 straight weeks. There'd be murders.
Yeah, there'd be death. They predicted riots.
Like, immediately.
Yeah.
Like, there are people with personal internet networks and infranet networks and all sorts of stuff. But, which is another thing that I'm really interested in, is like, so many of these communities that I kind of follow, they're like convinced something's going to happen and they're going to have to go off grid. And it's always like fascinating looking at these people's plans. Because I'm not like a doomsday guy. Like, as much as I joke about it. But like preppers, I'd say like, yeah, everybody kind of laughs at preppers and they're a bit weird. But ultimately, they're just prepared, right? So it's not like it's a bad thing. Mm. But they've got like these weird personal internet networks or personal networks that aren't quite internet, but they can store everything and use it to contact other people. So I think there'll be a few people like that still kind of able to contact outside and do all this other stuff. But Yeah, no, the entire world would burn. We're all addicted to it. We're all completely addicted to it. It's a part of your daily life.
I quite like the idea. Preppers, I get, because I've recently started doing HelloFresh.
Yeah.
So I think that's as close as I'll come to being an end of the world prepper.
You're not going
to
get a whole like pickle basement on the go. I've got 17,000 gherkins.
I'm good for a week because of this box.
These are good till the end of the month, and then you've got about 400 gherkins you've got to eat before the end of the month before they go bad. So you're just sitting on all the podcasts like, it's too salty. And,
whilst that's, I'm also thinking about like end of the world, but I've just got one HelloFresh box where I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do long term, but I'm going to make us a banging spaghetti parmesan on Thursday.
I just think it's coming. There's going to be a point where the internet goes down worldwide for like a week. It's like a weird theory, but I reckon it's going to happen.
Weirdly into the idea.
I think it's going to be fucking. It's going to be like toddler having a full blown meltdown in the shop.
Yeah.
And people will look back on it going, oh God, like how we look back on people hoarding toilet paper now and it's cringe as fuck. Yeah. There'll be like people legitimately burning down like Parliament because. Well, I can't get on my Facebook. You're controlling me. You're all turned against me. I got plans.
Me and, personally.
And that's. And then you end up with just this mass of people that just all hate each other. And then it sort of turns into a bit of a zombie apocalypse, except they're all alive and they're just killing each other instead.
There you go. And no more Twitter.
Yeah, but if it takes out the extreme sides of each political side...
Oh, it neutralises them completely.
Then it kind of just resets the playing field. Politics can be boring again. It'd be great.
We can get out more.
Imagine tuning it to PMQs and it's like, well, parking spaces do need to slightly increase. Cars are getting slightly larger. Instead of it being like, rah! Every fucking 5 seconds.
It's very
not answering
angry.
Any questions.
It is very angry.
Yeah.
I tell you what isn't angry. Bobby Eaton and Chris Jericho. They have a lovely match.
They do.
With Six and the fake Sting watching in the crowd behind an NWO banner. In front of an NWO banner. Six has himself a lovely camcorder.
He does.
They reference this later.
Mm.
Jericho starts strong. Crowd distracted by the NWO presence. I thought they were chanting Jericho. They were chanting NWO.
Why would they be chanting Jericho?
I don't know. I
come on, Tom. Get with the times.
Sign in the crowd that says, New World Order smells. So that's them told.
This one that says, New World Order beat me up.
There's also
a guy that gets up for a piss. And he does Scott Hall's mannerisms.
I saw him!
And I was like, oh, buddy.
Survey time.
Oh, man.
Is there going to be a queue in the
it
toilet?
It was like proper, like, just giving it Scott Hall. It was great.
He really needed a piss. Bobby guillotines Jericho to take control. Both fight to the outside with Jericho driving Eaton into the turnbuckle shoulder first. Back in the ring, Eaton lands a very much a desperation neck breaker, hits a lovely diving knee off the top for a two, but Jericho claws it back, pins Bobby with a missile drop kick.
Mm.
1-2-3, Jericho wins. In the crowd, is that Sean Waltman Six telling Jericho to suck it? He does a crotch chop in the crowd.
I didn't notice that.
Does a little crotch chop.
I was too busy wondering when we were going to get to like the Dark Side episode where it turns out that's the fateful camcorder that kind of derailed his life a bit down the line a few years from now.
You missed
the funniest part of this match.
Oh, did I?
As Bobby Eaton's making his entrance to his chipper baby face.
Bobby Eaton. Yeah.
You are the Bobby Eaton. Boo-dee-boo-boo-boo. He's running down the ring. And it's like, ladies and gentlemen, you're talking about WCW needing a leader. I genuinely thought it was going to end with, well, here he is. It's Bobby Eaton. I was like, fuck off.
Why not Bobby Eaton?
Because he spent the last year and a half or 2 years wearing a fake powder wig and getting beaten every week.
Jinder Mahal spent a year getting beat. He became WWE champion.
He did.
Anything is possible.
That's true. Where's Bobby from? Do we need to increase the market share there?
He's from England, isn't he? That's what blue bloods have been telling us.
They've turned him babyface, and they're going to say he's from like York or something now.
Tony interviews Chris Jericho. He's buzzing to get back to the hotel. I assume he's got room service booked or something.
Yeah.
And he's got a Corby trouser press, which he can use. I'm always excited to use them. He tells Six that in 6 days, he'll face him in Las Vegas at Halloween Havoc. So this is a match that's been on the card for Halloween Havoc, but the commentators made no mention of it.
Don't worry. This is going to be a thing that features throughout the night. This is random bollocks.
Because Six is watching the match. At no point did Tony Schiavone go, oh, of course, well, Six fighting Jericho. No, none of that.
There seems to be a disconnect between the first hour and second hour, and it's because the second hour 100% thinks they're cooler than the first hour.
Hell, without a doubt.
So they're like, we're not going to tell them shit.
Figure it out.
And Eric's
lads.
Like, watch this.
We get a lovely
put them together in a match, and they don't even realize they're about to face each other a baby.
See how they do. We get a lovely video package showcasing Rey Mysterio Jr. ahead of his match with Dino Machino at Halloween Havoc. Mm-hmm. I like these video packages for Rey, right?
Yeah.
They make him look like a cool boy. Like
yeah,
a future
it's just move compilations and a sexy, amazing music track.
That's all it needs to be.
Yeah.
Dean Malenko himself is in action next.
Deanie
Weenie is facing Jimmy Graffiti. Sam Driver, did you recognize Jimmy Graffiti?
Jimmy Graffiti is Jimmy Del Rey.
It's Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey!
Of the Heavenly Bodies.
Yes!
So, you know.
What the fuck is this?
He's in the Heavenly Bodies, formerly a tag team with him and Tom Pritchard. You know he's a capable wrestler, just off that alone. Like, teaming with Tom Pritchard, you can't be a slouch. Like, Tom Pritchard is a trainer, like, famously went on to become a sort of trainer to quite a lot of people. But Heavenly Bodies, a fantastic tag team for a while there. Even had a little ECW run. But now you bring him back to WCW solo and you make him Jimmy Graffiti, the worst gimmick I've ever seen in my life. Why does it? It's like Jimmy Graffiti and then a WCW logo stamped on it, not even like stenciled on it. It'd be like if it had a bit of a paint blotch around it, would have looked a bit more cool. But no, it looks like somebody's opened up McZee's word art. And made fucking Jimmy Graffiti and like loads of little paint splatters instead of splotches and sprays. And then on the back, for some fucking reason, in his bottom right of his back, it just says extra large, XL, unless it means 40. Like, did he used to play a sport with the number 40? What is this gimmick?
It's
He's in like tie-dye fucking Gap Year pants or shorts. Like, you treat Jimmy Del Rey like this. You could have put him in any gimmick.
Look how they massacred my boy.
It's like they saw El Barto and went, that's it. That guy reminds me of Bart Simpson. He's the fucking one. Jimmy Del Rey, you are our new Bart Simpson.
Sad he didn't shout, don't have a cow, before the match started.
No, they have to legally change it just to, don't have a heifer, dude.
Eat pants, dude.
My slightly long boxers.
Devour my boxers, father. That's sinister. Whoa, let's never say that ever again.
Stick me pants in your mouth,
father. Put father at the end, it's weird.
Father.
I'm still reeling from the McZee reference. That's made me really happy. Designing a new wrestler?
I fucking love McZee.
You can make him in a cool movie. Fucking 3D Movie Maker was an absolute gateway to creative energy.
I'm doing a stream on that soon.
I've never used
3D Movie Maker. I used all of his like word art tools and his English tools where he'd be on like a... It'd be like, do you want to go to the word processor page? And he'd be like, yeah,
prick.
And you'd like click on the word processor page. And then you'd get on like a little roller coaster and you'd go barreling through this town and he'd go into this window over here where you could type things. And then he'd be like, do you want to go to like the colorful page where you could paint? And he'd be like, yeah. And you'd click on that and take it down.
Amazing. So you haven't played, have you not properly played 3D Movie Maker?
No.
Oh my God, that is so up your street.
I have a game on...
So in your wheelhouse.
I can't wait to play it. I've got a game for on Steam called Kanjizoku Game. It was like £3. It's like a Japanese drift racing simulator. I like racing games. And it's all right. It's not great, but it's not bad. It's slowly getting built. And when it's done, it should be a very good game. Very nice. But I found that you can just modify the stock designs for the cars. So I made one. I'll show you a picture of it.
Oh,
actually.
Please do.
I made one that is just total 90s fucking dream.
If you could send me this so we can put it on the video version for the Patreon.
Let me have
Patreon.com/cultaholic.
Was it down?
Thank you for watching this.
Here we go. So.
That's a lovely car.
With loads of windows. it's got a big Bill Gates on it.
With
a tiny face.
It's got Clippy.
It's got the Japanese Windows mascot. Oh. It's got Clippy and McZee and the smiley.
McZee.
And then it says things like Steve Jobs sucks ass. Big Bad Billy Boy's badass ride is what it says there. And then on top of the car, you've got Ray Ayanami from Evangelion, but with Bill Gates' head.
Of course.
And then Windows.
The Windows 95 logo is
yeah.
Fucking A.
So get yeah, that's what I get up to in my spare time.
It's now safe to turn off your car. That's amazing. Do you remember when PCs used to say that?
Yeah.
Now
it's
you can...
now safe to turn off your computer.
Sometimes if you were in a rush, you'd turn it off as it wasn't ready, and then you'd worry about it all day.
What if I've corrupted the files? Completely. What if I have to defrag it? Do you remember how to defrag something?
I had to disk defragmenter.
What about degaussing or degaussing?
I've never degaussed a drive.
Oh, yeah.
I've degaussed a kettle.
You degaussed a monitor before?
No.
Oh, so some monitors in my school would have degaussers. And there was this science lab, like computer lab, but it's sometimes you'd use the back room, but the back room is like a second room.
Right.
So there'd be like 20 PCs. But if there were two classes needing to use the computer lab at once, they'd open the back room. The back room, the PCs would be on standby all the time, but they wouldn't be turned off. Monitors would be off, but you'd turn them on and they'd be all fuzzy and a bit, and they'd be like, oh, it needs to be degaussed. You press a button and it would just go thunk, and the entire screen would just wibble like this.
Oh, I might have done that then.
It was like you'd try and get everybody to line up and thunk at once.
Just like thunk
really loudly.
Yes, I remember this now. It would just make the screen wobble, and it looked like the world was ending.
Get rid of the magnetism.
This is the good the glory days of computing.
Fat back.
So the heavenly bodies have gone their separate ways.
Yes.
They did so in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Mm-hmm. Jimmy had a brief run in ECW before landing here with this gimmick in which he spray paints things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think they were both in ECW as part of Raven's flock. They were like in and around it for the small amount of time they were there.
Very possibly.
I think they worked with Raven.
Very well, maybe they did then. Mm. But this is the final few months of the career of Jimmy Del Rey. He'll only have a handful of matches left, and this is one of us.
He retires.
Final handful. He lands a lovely, what would become to known as a laying the SmackDown DDT onto Dean Malenko, which is lovely to see.
This is like the annoying thing. Is like you're watching him in ring, and it's like, this is an interesting match. Why is he dressed like a 12-year-old?
He's dressed like a toddler.
It looks like a background character in like a Nickelodeon kids TV show that you'd see in the hall. He looks like Steve Buscemi dressed up doing his How Do You Do Fellow Kids shit. Like,
if they did a live action version of Doug,
yeah,
he'd be one of his classmates.
Yes. Never speaks. No. Just in the background going.
Sit out powerbomb, gets a near fall for Jimmy, whatever the fuck this is. Get in there, lad. Dean ends up sucker punching Jimmy as he drops through the ropes to the floor. And in the balcony, we see fake Sting. He's filming this match for some reason. I guess to show it to Tom Pritchard and go, look what they're making your fucking mate do.
Fake Sting's back. That's twice now we've seen fake Sting.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of time tonight, isn't fake Sting? Crowd sign says RIP Bischoff. Oh, gosh, that's frightening. He's going to die, apparently. Malenko weathers graffiti.
Is he in every driver?
He might be.
We'll find out. Amazing. It's important.
He turns up at my door. My
I'm going to have to get some post recalled if he's not.
You know he would, you know, if he was, because he would not deliver it because controversy creates cash. I see you, Eric. Malenko weathers graffiti, takes him to the ground with a cross body to the outside.
Yeah.
Graffiti gets back into it, though. Nice drop kick off the top. However, Dean reverses said drop kick into a Texas cloverleaf and gets a submission on Jimmy, whatever the fuck that is.
Over with the clover. My favorite submission move that's barely used. And Rhea does a variation of it, but I like a good old fucking Texas cloverleaf with like a good wrench to it.
It's nice, isn't it?
It's just somebody getting their knee fucking blown out while their lower back gets obliterated. It's the best.
It's like a sharpshooter with like, extra steps.
Wah! It just looks brutal. When you get the right torque on a Texas cloverleaf, it looks brutal.
I think Sheamus does one.
Yeah.
I think obviously called the Irish cloverleaf because, of course. And I think it's elevated as well, which makes it slightly different.
Yeah, I'd see it. No, I just like the classic, but with a big wrench, more like a lion tamer or original Walls wrench. But like, just with the knees just getting done. Oh man, yes.
Dean throws some smack at Rey Mysterio. He will see him at Halloween Havoc.
He also shows us how he puts the glove on his hand. And how he can handily move his hand around inside that glove.
I don't know how Dean was resisted the urge. Oh, easy, Tiger. He resisted the urge to have his hand up in the mask and not go, hello, my name is Rey Mysterio.
And I'm going to lose at Halloween Havoc.
That'd have been me. Blah, 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 blah. I'm Ray Boring. Blah, 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 blah.
I'm about to leave and go to a different company.
Booyaka, booyaka. My son's going to be a twat in many years' time.
He's not even my kid. Hey!
No!
I'm going to lose an eye.
And it'll grow back like normal.
Diamond Dallas Page in action next. He's taking on Craig Pitbull Pittman. We get a montage of diamond cutters. Tony is putting this move over as dangerous. I love the emphasis on the diamond cutter.
And DDP gets quite the reaction when he comes out as well.
He's getting over like Rover.
And the crowd, I mean, why would you put Pittman out there? He's just going to get done. He's just going to get so done.
He gets done from the off because Pittman gets in the ring and he's ready to go. And then Teddy calls him over and goes, hey, Pittman, I've got some strategy to share with you. And as Pittman turns his back on DDP to go, yeah, what's the strategy? Dallas Page is fucking twassing.
Yep.
What are you doing?
Never turn your back on your opponent.
Never.
That's like school fighting rules. Just don't turn your back. If you're in a fight with somebody, you just don't turn your back on somebody.
Pittman, he served the country. He served his country proud, but fucking idiot in the ring.
He's too busy listening to that Teddy Long. That Teddy Long's ruining his career.
Teddy is getting long in the tooth for him. DDP lands a tombstone pancake for a near fall. Pittman kicking out and sending DDP onto Nick's back in the process. So Nick Patrick is refereeing with his
still
neck
in his neck
brace.
Yeah, still going. Oh, every time he's supposed to move, still really late to count every pin because he's kind of got to go to then drop down.
Everybody is desperate to see Nick get a fucking shoe in because even just DDP getting kicked out and landing on Nick's back gets a pop.
I love this whole Nick Patrick story. For me, it's so crap. It's brilliant. It's just he's so clearly the NWO referee as well, which we'll get onto in a bit. But the entire way that this has unraveled has just been shit arsery after shit arsery, and it's just getting funnier.
Pittman is in charge on the outside. He gets back in the ring and puts the code red on DDP. But
I was legit at this point like, he might do it. He might do it. This could be a new feud for Pittman.
But then we remembered it's Pittman. So of course, he's not going to do it.
No, but explain. Because inexplicably, Concord. Teddy Long sees Craig Pittman get the code red on. And he goes, aha, that is a devastating move. Diamond Dallas Page will probably tap out to that. I best stand up on the apron and distract the referee.
I can only assume that Teddy is turning on Pittman.
That's what I thought. I was like, okay, so Teddy screwed him, right? Okay, interesting. At least it gives Pittman like a new dynamic. And he'd probably go up against whoever Teddy's going to manage next. Okay, whatever. No, DDP visually taps while this distraction's ongoing. And it's like, okay. And then Patrick finally turns around and it doesn't quite go Pittman's way.
No, DDP recovers from the code red, gets a diamond cutter, gets the three. And we get another argument between Long and Patrick post-match.
That's why initially I was like, oh, so Teddy's like turned on him. And then Teddy afterwards is like, what the hell, man? And it's like, Nick Patrick quite rightly goes, well, you got up on the apron and you distracted me.
It's hard to paint Nick Patrick as the bad guy.
Yeah, when he's in the right.
He's completely in the right. He's legit enforcing the rules.
If Teddy is turning, yeah, fine, great, okay, I like that, whatever. If this is just another kind of, well, it doesn't make any sense. Why would you stand up? Why would you get on the apron
while
he's got his finish locked in?
Tony speaks to Nick Patrick afterwards and he blames Teddy Long once again for costing his own guy the match. And he once again addresses being accused of being the NWO ref on Saturday night, where they're having these NWO matches with a referee and a balaclava. It's blatantly Nick Patrick.
It's not. Because
this referee is 19 foot five.
It's Randy Anderson. Nick Patrick's clearly much more muscular, actually. He says that himself.
Yeah, Nick Patrick says, I'm in twice the shape that the NWO ref is. It's probably Randy Anderson. Fucking great line. And it's so Patrick continues to deny that he is the NWO ref and throws some shade at Randy Anderson in the process. We get a recap of Ric Flair being attacked by the NWO 2 weeks ago.
It feels like a fucking lifetime. It feels like Sting's been gone for about a month, and so it feels like Flair's been out for like twice that. I can't compute it.
But don't worry, because to defend the honor of Ric Flair is my very best friend, Jeff Jarrett. There he is.
Jeffy J.
My boy Jeffrey.
Big Jeffy.
Big Jeffrey.
Big Jeffy.
Leader of Total Nonstop Arseholes. My best friend, Jeff. He looked so happy with Conrad when Conrad mentioned me on My World this week. Jeff genuinely looked like he was about to have an aneurysm. I don't know why he's so cross. Jeffy got angry. All Conrad said was Tom, and Jeff looked like he was about to blow a gasket.
I think you could take him, you know.
Jacket.
He's getting on.
I don't want to fight. He's my
He's
mate.
Getting on.
He's my bestie.
He's getting on. He could take
it. He's my shiny boy.
Yeah, what if he wins a belt, though, and then you can take it?
He's got that Texas Chainsaw Massacre title.
Take it.
I love that.
Yeah.
But I don't want to fight. He's my shiny boy. He's my lovely baby blue.
But you can elevate each other. You got to think about it like wrestling, Tom.
That's true, actually. Jeff really would be elevated.
What we'll do is we'll put a ring.
By having a match with me.
We'll put a ring on a floating barge in the middle of the tide. And by the time you get the timeout, that's your time limit. If you get out to sea, we're not rescuing you. You got till you get the timeout.
Jeff, we're hearing this. If you, get in there, Jeff.
If you're lucky, you might be able to jump on the Shields ferry if it just happens to be passing at the right time. Hopefully you don't collide with
it. Of course, in wrestling, Shields ferry means something different. It's Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins. Get on here, lads. Murder.
Swimming like dolphin. Murder. Like fucking, like David Hasselhoff in the SpongeBob movie. Just Roman Reigns in the water.
It's the CGI Roman dashing across the tide.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
My boy Jeff, my shiny blue boy Jeff Jarrett, is facing Big Ron Studd.
Which,
It's Reese.
Just a big lad.
He's a big lad. So this is Jeff Jarrett warming up for a match with the Giant by facing a Giant.
Yeah, you got to kind of start to get in the wheelhouse, right?
We send our best wishes to Ric Flair, who 2 weeks ago got battered so badly. It looks like he may have surgery. Oh, wait, here's Ric Flair now. He looks fine. Here comes Ric Flair.
Comes charging down to the ring.
Ric Flair. Now, this is a strange old segment. So Ric Flair struts down to the ring before the match starts. He takes off his jacket and encourages Jeff Jarrett to do the strut, to which Jeff Jarrett does the Fargo strut, which he does ever so well, to a mixed reaction, mainly boos.
Yeah.
Ric Flair then steps into the ring and does the Flair Fargo.
Let me guess, does Flair get cheered?
Wild ovation.
Of course he does.
So Jarrett does it again, gets booed. Yeah. Flair does it again and gets cheered. Oh, we might have a problem. Flair, undaunted, extends the hand to Jeff Jarrett. Yeah. And Jeff shakes his hands. Jeff is going to replace Ric Flair in the match against the Giant at Halloween Havoc. He just needs to beat Ron Studd to get ready for it.
Yes.
So here we go. Ron tree slams Jeff Jarrett. Jeff counters a bear hug, and fuck me, he suplexes Ron.
That gets a reaction. The crowd wakes the fuck up for that, because it was like the crowd's been weirdly up and down through the first match. That, yeah, huge response.
I think that might have been one of the coolest things I've ever seen Jeff Jarrett do.
Well, when you compare
suplex
it...
Suplex a giant.
But when you compare it with Luger in a similar situation later...
Oh, yes.
And it's just effortless, just whoop, straight over.
Yeah, oh, God.
For Jarrett, and it's like, yeah, sweet.
He then puts the figure four on and Ron taps out. Can Jeff Jarrett tap out the Giant? Well, we're going to find out. Halloween Havoc. Ringside, Tony Schiavone has a lovely chat with Jeff. Jeff tells the Giant he's got a bullseye on his leg. He's going to put on the figure four. And here's Ric Flair. He's back again with the ill behavior. He tells the NWO that Jeff Jarrett put over Ric Flair and then tells the NWO that they have played the game dirtier than the Horsemen. And that's all about to change. Flair will be in Jeff Jarrett's corner at Halloween Havoc.
Whoa.
Metaphorically or literally? I guess we'll find out.
Is he there to help? Is he there to stab him in the back? We'll probably find that out as well.
The Giant watches from the crowd looking cross at what is going on. Your thoughts on Jeff Jarrett being given such a golden chalice by Ric Flair?
I think it's, given his background in wrestling in terms of the family he's from, you know, the importance of the territory system that he's from, the fact that he was a rising star in a pretty good position in WWF at the time when he left, I think you have to sort of put Jeff in a position like this, because ultimately if you bring him in again, everybody already knows it's Jeff Jarrett, right? It's when you see talents jump from company to company and it's like, oh, guess you're starting at the bottom again. It's like, don't always have to, because it's ultimately everybody knows who Jeff Jarrett is at this point. Everybody knows he can go. So put him straight into a position. Obviously, they've given him quite the handshake here with Flair and everything, but I think that he's genuinely a heavyweight competitor for them. You know, not yet, but down the line, that's where we're looking toward. And I think that might be what we're seeing here. It's like, let's see how he does with a position like this and then go from there.
It's a real big pair of shoes to fill for Jeff Jarrett.
But I think he's equally somebody who would have come in and wanted to have worked, you know, as passionately as he could, given the situation around him leaving WWF at the time, with the storyline with the roadie and everything. He doesn't want to go somewhere and just kind of be handed a general storyline. He wants to have a spotlight to show how valuable he is.
Whilst Jeff Jarrett is obviously a lovely human and my best friend, I think he's better in wrestling as a heel.
I think at this point of time, I think he's all right as a babyface, but I think he is always going to work better as a bad guy, right? Like, he's just got that kind of cockiness to him. He's got that drawl in the way he speaks. He's just very, he becomes very, it's not capitalistic. He starts capitalizing on like a lot of situations later in his WCW run. I think that's, as a character, when you start to see that kind of wily side of him come out, that's where he's at his best.
Hour number two for Nitro is underway. Fireworks and intro from Eric Bischoff, Mike Tenay, and Bobby Heenan. Still no Randy.
Savage isn't here so far for his match tonight, but did you see last week, guys? Did you see last week when I made Randy Savage cry? Did you see when I made Randy Savage cry by showing him a tape of Elizabeth saying that she wanted to be back with him as he was supposed to come out and main event the show, and instead we sent everybody home unhappy without a Randy Savage match, and I could have shown him this after the match? Did you see? Do you think he's pissed off at me for that, guys? Do you think that's why he's not here? Do you think he's having a bit of a crisis because he saw that tape I showed him last week on the ramp on his way to the ring? Of Liz, his ex-wife, who he's married to. Do you think that could be the reason? It's all Bischoff talks about.
I do, and what's funny about it is...
It's all he talks about.
Is that Bischoff goes like, I'm really sorry to Randy for what I did last week. Let's see it again. No! If you're sorry, move on!
Don't show it.
Yeah. I'm so sorry for what I did to Randy. Watch it again, Randy.
It's
no!
Like, you actually pinpoint the moment where his heart breaks. Watching him back frame by frame.
Up next, first match of the second hour, it's Lex Luger versus Roadblock.
Lexington Luger versus Roadblock. Yeah.
Somebody help him.
He's stuck in a fence.
So Roadblock, which feels like something that Sam Driver created. Comes out to the ring with a blockade.
It's somewhere between a roadblock and like a sawhorse.
Yeah,
like the type of thing you'd use to cut wood on.
Well, I think it's like a police blockade type thing.
It's sort of like, it's weird.
Here you go.
Sort of,
Sam Driver's showing us on Patreon
right
now.
His arms kind of like through the wood, so he's just walking down like this, trying to look all menacing like.
But it does just look like he's got his head stuck in a roadblock. It's like the jokester on the way back from the pub. You know, if he comes up with a traffic cone later in the next one,
like
that'd be even better.
Like a fucking first-year student nicking a sign.
Who the fuck is this? Well, this is Joseph DeCisto former IWCCW and former WWC star. He also competed in the UWA as Torre Infernal, or the Infernal Tower.
Lost two bet matches, I believe, as well.
He did. Yeah. Well done.
Have you been on Wikipedia, have you?
I've been on Cage Match.
Yeah. Cage Match?
Yeah. My good friends at cagematch.net.
Well, Richie, you say that when you're the one sitting there spamming how AEW sucks every week. You're on all the AEW shows and you're like, oh, I don't believe Jungle Boy at all. He's super unconvincing. And then you. It's you're not, the reason. You're the reason.
It's not me doing that.
You're the reason.
It's Tony Khan's fault.
No, it's... Oh, you blame Tony. That's convenient.
Yeah.
All Tony wants is good cage match ratings, but you've got to sully it. You've got to sully it.
We can't.
Do you know how hard those people are working on their money to write those reviews for them? Six people in the head office just writing all night. Seven different accounts.
I had a lovely chat with Flosh, who is the social media guy, the fifth longest tenured member of Cage Match.
I fucking openly applauded in my living room last night when I read it. I was like...
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it?
I was buzzing. I was so happy.
They basically... So cagematch.net had an influx of 10 out of 10 ratings for Seth Rollins versus Jinder Mahal from weird tribalistic wrestling fans, to which they put this thing on the front page going, right, you fuckers.
Fuck off.
Fuck off.
We're going to ban this. We're going to just fuck you. Stop the tribalism.
You're ruining our system of legitimate ratings.
We don't give a fuck about being a big site.
But the thing, it's a weird one, because I love that you do that, but all it does is it encourages it more.
The thing is, like, I don't think it does. I think he's serious. I think it'll be a case of just ban the words.
Yeah.
And then the words don't work, then and just lock it down to mandatory, like, account reviews or whatever. It's ultimately, it's harming what has been for a very long time a very good, very balanced system. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you've got to take every review you read online with a pinch of salt, because, you know, whether it's for a restaurant or a wrestling match, there's always going to be one person going, well, that didn't tick all of my boxes, so it gets a zero. Mm-hmm. But if you just look at the general average and you have some level-headed people in there, Cage Match is a fantastic utility, and it's a shame that people would go on there and just spam shit in order to get fake fucking points, when ultimately it's all about just look at the resource. Don't sully the resource. Look at all the information that you get with Cage Match.
Incredibly grateful for the 40-plus people that work on Cage Match.
The whole point of it is to not just inundate it with shit. Give it actual feedback.
Yes.
That's what it's there for.
Exactly. And us to look at what Roadblock was doing in 1995.
Exactly.
He was on Saturday Night, WWE Saturday Night back in October, but this is his Nitro debut. And fuck a duck, Roadblock is massive.
He's huge.
He is tall as he is wide.
Lex Luger has to look up to him.
He is a big boy. It is Lex Luger going up against him. And he's a big boy. He's not massively coordinated.
No, but he's got a good look to him. He looks somewhere... Well, he basically looks like the love child of John Tenta and Tugboat. So Typhoon and Earthquake together, like sellotape together with like a... I don't know, with
little
just
bit of Psy King from Hairy Bikers, I thought.
Yeah, like with some like platform shoes on. Just a little bit of extra height.
Yeah, he's... What a monstrosity. We get a picture-in-picture with Arn Anderson telling Lex Luger he's going to make him say, I quit at Halloween Havoc.
I'm going to start calling him a combination of Earthquake and Typhoon, and he's just going to be called Erfoon. Erfoon is the new name for Roblox.
Erfoon. Which I feel like sounds like a Pokemon.
Or a rude word.
you bloody Erfoon. Roblox dodges an elbow and takes charge with a beefy clothesline or two, and even does a Stinger splash. And he's doing it whilst Bischoff is groveling to Sting. Bischoff,
I'm sorry, Sting.
Taking a break from apologising to Savage is apologising to Sting.
We put your face on the car, Sting. You're not coming back, please.
I love...
We've lost Randy now. Please.
I was really hoping that this week Bischoff would go, don't worry, Randy, I've got it figured out. And they bring out a NASCAR with Randy's face on.
It's the Sting one, but with just Randy's face hastily slapped over it with like a smaller decal. So it's Sting's body, Randy's head. No long hair, just they quite awkwardly cropped it to like here. It's just like a circle.
Sting crossed out Randy.
The hat is just stuck on, but it's smaller and it looks weird.
And Bischoff going, I don't understand why this isn't working. Like, maybe stop apologising with NASCAR.
I know what he likes. He likes Slim Jims. I'll send him a box. Randy's house is just made of Slim Jims at this point.
Just a big freight, just a truck just dumping them on his garden.
They missed a trick. They should have had Randy Savage at some point give somebody a bouquet of Slim Jims.
Oh, that would have been lovely.
Yeah, and they have to make actual flowers out of like extra wide Slim Jims, which they have to produce that are like this thick, but they cut it into slices and they can make little roses. Oh. But then you get people trying to eat the whole like massive glizzy and it's just bad.
Oh. It's just, I don't even think it. My salt intake has gone up.
Nice meaty salty treat. Oh.
Lex fights back with a power slam. He goes for the torture rack and just drops him.
But don't worry, he goes for it again. And he picks him up and he whaps him on his shoulder nice and firm. And then he steps around and he drops him.
He's laughing again at this point, is Lex. Yeah. He's like, this is hilarious.
And commentary are legit at this point kind of shouting as if he's going to be able to hear him. Hear them kind of going, well, he doesn't want to get an injury before the big show. He doesn't want to get an injury as Luger's now powering up for a third time to fucking lift him.
And fuck a duck, he does it third time. Third one gets him up and Roblox taps out dead quick so Luger can put him down dead quick. Back in 2022 on Twitter, a graphic of this torture rack was shared online. Lex Luger described it as his toughest torture rack ever.
Mainly because I had to pick him up three times.
Yes, probably the three times and the fact that this guy's wide as he is tall. You're putting a torture rack on a house, essentially.
At least a smeg fridge.
A torture rack on a smeg fridge would have been easier than Roadblock. Luger wins. See you at Halloween Havoc, Arn Anderson.
But more importantly, see you in hour two, which is right now. Eat shit every week.
Eat shit every week.
And hold on, let me just have a check here.
NWO t-shirt commercial?
Yes.
Yeah, buy the shirt!
Commercial. I'm waiting for something. Right, no, it's not this match, it's the next match.
We get the Lee Marshall update next, though.
Oh, we do.
I love these. Lee Marshall on his red phone, little still image of him in the corner, watching a spectacular sunset in Phoenix, Arizona, ahead of the show in the American West Arena next week. He's there really fucking early.
Is he fuck? He's saying things like, remember it's 5 a.m. here or 5 p.m. here. Additional facts. I've just come out of the Delaware Walmart and I'm here in Delaware. And it's like that level of information. Oh, there was a woman walked by with a dog wearing a Delaware t-shirt. What a sports team.
Oh, that seagull that you could only find in Delaware. Get off my burger that I bought from Delaware Burgers.
It's a Delaware specialty, this burger.
He even gives us a weather update for next week, telling us that temps are in the mid-70s when they get here. And he says he has to go now because he used
My
to go...
My planet needs me.
I wish he had said that. No, it says that he went to college in Phoenix, Arizona, so he's off to a couple of reunion parties. Fucking Lee Marshall on the fucking RAS.
They just happen, yeah.
Bobby then says, I hope they leave him in the desert. Just Bobby just being a shit to Lee Marshall, who's off to go meet some mates for a nice quiet pint. I can't tell you how much I love these Lee Marshall bits. I hope they never go away.
They're just fucking ridiculous.
They're so
twee. I get that they're like, you know, it's buy tickets, we're coming to your market now. But it's just hilarious.
They're just really twee. In what is a wild 2 hours of wrestling, it's broken up by this old boy just going... Oh, well, it's a lovely sunset here today.
Look at my mustache.
I'm off to go and see a friend I've not seen in a while. They're so sweet. I love them.
Do you ever think on these long, cold winter days? It just starts going off like that.
Well, I'm in the place where my wife had her first affair, and sadly wouldn't be the last. Buy tickets to Nitro
God,
for
I
next
love that
week.
Woman.
I still love her. Buy tickets to Nitro.
It destroyed my family.
I still wake up at night screaming, buy tickets to Nitro. God love you, Lee Marshall, Tony the Tiger. From one big comeback to another. Fucking American Males!
It's fucking right, my boys are back.
Boys are back in
They've
town.
They've been off on a stripping tour or something.
Well, Scotty Riggs has been injured.
Yeah, stripping.
Injured stripping.
Yeah.
They are...
That's the gimmick. The gimmick is they're strippers. You can't tell me it's not.
Have you seen the photo of Scotty Riggs and Buff Bagwell working out together this week?
No.
Oh, it's lovely. Just two old boys, bit grey, still beefy, in the gym. American Males.
Where's the sleeveless tuxes? Get them on. Get back in the ring. Get going.
They look like they could have another.
Get going, American Males.
If I were Joey Janela, right? Whatever's left of Joe Janela after Ricky Berwick is done with him.
Props on getting Ricky Berwick, by the way.
That's great, wasn't it? That's great.
I was not expecting to see that yesterday. I was like, what?
Nor was I. I messaged Ricky and I said, come and have a chat with Cultaholic about your match. And he went, let me get back to you. And then it was about this time yesterday, the day of recording, where he went, yeah, I can do 2 p.m. Eastern. I was like, well, I guess I can as well. And it was a very wild conversation.
Very nice.
What a lovely man.
He's class, isn't he?
Lovely boy. So whatever's left of Joey should book the American Males for Joey Janela Spring Break.
I just want to see American Males everywhere. Tony should just give him $1 million contract.
Yeah.
He's losing Sting. You need some WCW flavor. Lex doesn't really go anymore. American Males.
So as Sting leaves, American Males return.
I think American Males should retire Sting.
Fucking yes.
Get Big Papa Pump out there as well. And then you have basically two run-ins. So Big Papa Pump and Buff Bagwell. And then like Big Papa Pump defeats Sting a bit extra. Just proper beats him up. Beats him up. And then Buff's doing this whole like, yeah. And then Scott Steiner like shoves him. So he takes out Steiner, which is going to lead into a feud. And then out comes Scotty Riggs. And then they run to the back. And in the time that he's been in the back, he takes off his stupid red hat and dungarees, and he comes out and he's dressed as the male stripper we all know and love. And American Males run down and then beat up Scott again, and then beat up Sting even more.
you were nearly there.
And then there's this 50-foot scaffold, right? And Sting's just looking at it going, that's it. That's where I'm going to do it. And there's these 50 tables, right?
Russian leg sweep off the scaffold through 8 burning tables. Sting gets
on
up.
A forklift.
As the American Males theme is playing all the
on
way through.
On a pole on a forklift.
On the roof, on the pole, on the forklift.
What if you just had a pole match rather than on a pole?
In the bowl, in the bowl, down in the valley.
What if there was just a pole and you just had to beat each other with a pole? I'm in here thinking of new gimmicks, Tom. I'm doing it.
Just twatting each other really hard.
I've got my eyes on promoter of the year.
Two wrestlers' skulls were caved in today.
Well, they should have had thicker skulls.
After a ludicrous pole versus pole match, where the wrestlers had to shoot twat each other with metal poles.
In this promotion, we don't do anything by halves.
Two wrestlers have died today. The booker is said to be annoyed because he's going to have them do a rematch on Thursday.
It's okay. We can keep them fresh with a bit of Febreze. We'll throw them out there. We'll see what happens. Maybe some magic.
Just fucking
bump. We've got him on marionette. Weekend at Bernie's in them.
A wrestling promoter has been described as impressively sadistic in his attempts to rematch two dead wrestlers.
Talents that threatened to leave after the pole incident were forced to then control said talents as puppets.
You always make it worse for anyone that doesn't want to play along.
While the promoter...
You always make it worse.
The promoter has like a small personal army just pointing guns at everybody going, you do it. Do it.
It's always fucking
and
guns.
He just keeps dressing up as like a generalissimo. And he's growing in a mustache and he wears epaulettes. That's me.
It's always with you. It always ends with wrestlers having guns pointed at them.
But I could be a cool like Cuban dictator, and I could like smoke a cigar, wear sunglasses in the dark inside.
Fidel Castro.
Yeah.
So,
stub my cigarette out every now and then, cigar, and go, this displeases me.
You can't leave. Stay.
Come down and do an Inoki. You've seen like a 5-star, amazing, unbelievable match that like Meltzer's losing his shit over. And I'm like, collar and elbow, tie up, boys. This is shit.
Shit.
Start like banging chairs. What's happening? 2 strikes. We're hot shot on this belt. What are you doing? 15 minutes. This is wild. Told you, it's 2 minutes. Get out there. Drop the belt.
Right, who's marionette in the dead wrestler?
What's up
this
next?
Week?
Same match again. You're dropping it this time.
All night, just back and forth.
You're going up against one of the marionettes. You've got to be careful not to knock its head off.
It's children in the front row.
Well, they get to leave with a souvenir, I guess.
And a smile on their face. And,
therapy
the smile on, for
years. Smile on their face as well, potentially. You know, if we glue it.
It's going to be one of those podcasts that you'll get a message about a month ago. In a month's time, you'll go, what?
What the fuck, man? That's very, very uncool.
Very offensive.
Calling for the death. I'm like, no, I was calling for meat puppets.
Marionette wrestlers like that. The Observer says the WCW are considering a singles run for Marcus Bagwell.
Bullshit. It never worked. Keep American Males.
American Rails emails in control of their... Oh, sorry, they're facing Harlem Heat.
With Shezbollah and the Colonel.
I think the tag championships are on the line. They never say.
We never really know.
No.
I imagine they are, though, because they make a big deal out of, well, 1 year ago, this team was the team that upset Harlem Heat right here on Nitro. Oh, my God, it could happen again.
They never burden us too much with necessary information to WCW.
It's like they decide whether it's for the belts when the result happens.
Yeah.
It's like, were these for the belts, Eric? And Eric's like... Go on, yeah, give them the belts.
Back from the break, Hall and Nash are in the crowd and they're filming this time. Turns out the NWO have been meeting with Turner about getting their own show. Bischoff tells us that's not happening.
But they've already been given Saturday night.
They get a little portion of Saturday night, which I think they might pay for.
Right.
But so they want like their own fully-fledged two-hour fucking...
Well, I mean, WCW promised them their own show. So really, it's Eric who's dragging his feet here. Give him Saturday night.
It's true. When they won the match, I think they had a segment every week.
Well, they said they were allowed a show. And then I think they tried to say, well, the pay-per-view can technically be your show, NWO. And they were like, well, we're working matches. It's not really our show, is it? You pieces of shit. Trying to get out of a fucking deal. And they were like, well, we'll give you a bit of Saturday night. And they're like, all right, we'll take it. We're not happy. And Eric's like, calm down.
We want Randy Anderson as ref.
But we're going to put him in lifts so he looks like Nick Patrick.
Fucking massive lifts. Kevin Nash and Scott Hall are mocking Harlem Heat. Did you see how they were mocking Harlem Heat?
Yes, they had breathe right nasal strips.
They had nasal strips.
No, breathe right nasal strips.
Breathe right nasal
strips.
You've
got to make sure you get the brand
in. Breathe right nasal strips.
Today, Halloween. I believe, and Bischoff both. Breathe right nasal strips.
Slim Jim Halloween Havoc. Nasal strips. Chaos in the opening sequence. Sherry and Rob Parker, sorry, in the closing sequence, as Sherry and Rob Parker get on the apron. Scotty clatters them. Mm. Stevie Ray lands a sidekick, pins him. Bagwell is literally a split second too late to break the cover, and it's a three. Feels like a shoot three.
Patrick watches the entire thing unfold as well before realizing, I don't need to watch this, and quickly goes...
Yeah, looks away slightly.
I was like, God damn it.
Booker and Stevie leave as champs and tell the NWO to come get some. Mm. Bischoff suddenly starts hearing that Sting is in the building, but it's not what we think.
Well, we've been told Sting's in the building. It's good.
Yeah. More after the break, apparently. No, it's not after the break at all, because next it's the Fantastics making a Nitro return, a Bobby Fulton and Tommy Rogers. Mm. They look good here. They're facing the Faces of Fear, Meng and the Barbarian.
What is it? What is it about the Faces of Fear's families there, Tom, that gets mentioned here on commentary?
Oh, go on.
Is it that they used to jump from tree to tree and were cannibals?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that part. That's a worry.
That's a dated...
Can I guess who said that?
Go on.
Bobby.
I believe it was, yes.
There you go. Sorry to chuck you under the bus there, Bobby, but it sounds like something
it's
you'd
say. It's
missing
the three. So it's the trifecta, isn't it? Usually it's like the people were savages, they were cannibals. And
Their skulls are
the
solid.
Skulls are solid. That's it. That's the third. So we're waiting for that in the match.
We'll see. Meng and Barbarian land a nice combo backdrop powerbomb onto Bobby Fulton. That's really nice. Mm. Throws him and then he catches him and powerbombs him.
Yeah, crowd then go pretty wild for that.
Love that shit.
And then Bischoff goes, oh my God, NWO Sting's here.
What's he doing?
NWO Sting's here, everybody. It's not like we saw him 1 hour and 10 fucking minutes ago five times.
Is it because it's on the second hour,
Not, they're not talking. First and second hour commentary is just not talking. No. Eric's not even looking at his own shows. He's turning at Tony Khan. He's just part of the action now. Pretty soon he's going to be a character. This is what's happening. It's ridiculous.
So is Eric not...
Eric's the one who's going, you get out there, NWO Sting. You be on those fucking stands. Mm-hmm. And then he's sitting there and he's going, well, he's been out there all night. But oh my God, he's... What? He's forgetting his own booking. Which means he's getting too caught up in it and he's just thinking about being Hulk Hogan's friend not being a promoter.
Oh.
So this is where I draw a line, Eric Bischoff.
You told
me. I draw a line.
At 83 weeks, Sam draws the line.
Better stop paying attention to your own booking.
Hey, look. Hey, all in weekends looking interesting. If I'm starting fights with Jeff Jarrett, you can start fights with Eric Bischoff.
Well, I don't think he'd be up for like a boiler room brawl.
I think he would.
I genuinely don't think he would. Maybe a natter about, like, ratings.
Natter about ratings match. Fulton.
Arguing a very specific, useless point about 90s WCW. Just like, I think that you should have done this with Hacksaw at this show. And just be really, really insistent about it. And just basically insinuate that because they didn't do this one tiny thing, that sullies his entire career.
That's why WCW died.
That's why the entire thing died and you ended up being Vince's bitch on TV. and just really focus on that one point.
And every time he tries to move the conversation away, just bring it back to
like,
it.
Oh yeah, just like when you fucked over Jim Duggan. Flip the table. Start getting angrier and angrier.
What a great Q&A. Surprised you haven't been asked to host any of those live events by our friend who does all the live events with the wrestlers. Kenny McIntosh.
Yeah. I think I'd be far too controversial for Inside the Ropes. Just walk on the stage. But Undertaker, yeah?
I think you're clever.
Think you're big, yeah? Think you're a big star.
Oh, I've got a gun.
Ooh. Ooh. Bruno San Martino shits on you, mate, and just walk out.
I fucking love that. I would be into that.
Oh, I'm tall and I wear purple. Get out.
Because I don't think Undertaker would know what to do with that information. If you just came on and went, oh, I'm dead.
Grow up. It's all Tubes used to do, isn't it? Just walk in, be a dick and walk out.
Well, look at me. I'm a dead man. I work in a funeral parlour. Fucking clever dick. My dad worked in accountants. To make him clever.
My dad made more money than
my
your dad.
My dad made more money than your dad. Oh, support our troops.
And I didn't burn down my own family home as a kid. And my mom wasn't promiscuous.
Oh, boo-hoo, Paul Bearer. Oh,
shut up.
That's a bit far.
It's just harsh, isn't it? Ooh, poor man. Just do it.
I'm just talking about the gimmicks. You're getting in there with real life.
All right, Mark, dickhead.
Woo! I'm the one who gets a bit of a woo. You're the one that's going to get hit by like a motorbike. Saying shit like that.
Oh, clever boy motorbike. Ooh, brum, brum.
Olin Biscuit.
Oh, how old are you?
I'll keep rolling. 12. Don't worry, keep rolling.
Keep rolling, eh? Oh, yeah. We're on your stupid tobacco. Fucking dickhead. Thanks for coming on, Undertaker.
Anyway, I'll hand over to the floor.
Any questions for Mark? Make them not shit. Pile driver and double headbutt onto Fulton. Tommy Rogers just keeps breaking the cover, though. Rogers and Fulton have a nice go with some stereo drop kicks and some double backdrops, but to no avail. Rogers gets a fall-away slam, savat kick combo, and Foff get the win ahead of Halloween Havoc and their showdown with the Horsemen.
And Eric Bischoff goes to say something, but gets cut off, and it's really funny because he goes, ho, 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 you don't want to piss. And then Tanae cuts him off.
Unless.
Oh, you don't want to piss.
Unless he just didn't want to piss. unless Bobby thought he needed the toilet and then didn't. So then Eric went, you don't want to piss.
P45, you don't want to piss. FedEx package.
He's just in a picture of what the urinals look like backstage. Oh, you don't want to piss. Keep in mind, until I go back to the hotel.
There are four shits in that urinal. Four. How one can you identify them?
One for each horseman.
They've actually made the four horsemen logo out of shit. I guess I know which one's there, urinal.
I don't want to piss now. Jimmy Hart tells Chris Benoit and Mongo to get ready because they're coming from Halloween Havoc.
Do it in at least Jimmy's pitch.
Go on. Oh, get ready.
There you go.
Mongo, Benoit. Get ready!
It sounds anybody like exacerbated Mickey Mouse.
Anybody got a towel?
Wanna get high?
Wanna get high?
Don't forget to bring a towel.
All right, Mark. Ooh, poo. Look at your shit, wrestler. Ooh.
Anyway.
Dead man walking. Ooh. Listen to Kid Rock. Fucking 12-year-old boy.
He doesn't drink Bud Light.
He doesn't drink Bud Light. I bet he drinks. He drinks Jack Daniels on stage. He has a bottle of JD and just goes, oh, I remember that thing that happened backstage with my mates at the Bone Street Crew.
Deep swig.
And boy, just one time Conan forgot his trousers. That's the live show. Am I right? Bischoff tells us the NWO have a big surprise coming up. Bischoff also apologizes to Savage once again.
I'm so sorry, Randy. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry, Randy. I'm so, so sorry.
As he rubs his nipples.
Vigorously starts masturbating.
Once again, Bischoff with that excellent clangor. I'm so sorry for that video I played to you last week, Savage. Here it is again.
Ho ho, you don't want to piss.
Right, up next, here comes Mr. JL.
It's
JL.
Time for JL versus Sting.
And they play Sting's old music. The crowd pop because when you're sat at the back, it does look like Sting.
And they've really fucked us over the last 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 months. So they're not going to fuck us over again. We're definitely getting a big name tonight. It's not even the main event. Usually the main event's where it all goes sideways.
It's fake Sting. Which people realize once he gets into the ring. But even then, I still don't think everyone truly realizes. Because they don't announce him as like fake Sting.
They just, yeah.
Sting controls JL with a front slam and a stinger splash and then gets the scorpion. So that's basically JL's here just to take a shoe in from the fake Sting. But then suddenly, without any music or pomp or fanfare, here comes Sting!
The actual Sting. A pop does happen.
Pop does happen because we go.
So but a small wave starts from like the entranceway.
But oh, look at this new look version of Sting, Sam Driver.
It's not quite there, but it's a step in the right bloody direction. He's all white face paint with the two lines like the crow. And he makes his way to the ring, takes care of business.
Black trench gets coat. Rid,
black trench coat, black boots, black t-shirt, which is a normal t-shirt turned inside out. And I want to know what the normal shirt is. If anybody knows, let me know. You see that on the way out. It's definitely turned inside out. There's a white print underneath. I don't know what the fuck it is. It's not an NWO shirt. I know that much. and black tights with neon rainbow colored logo down the side. But don't worry, the duster jacket kind of covers them.
Oh, I love this sort of embryonic version
proto
Crow Sting.
Yeah.
He batters the fake Sting, puts him in the Scorpion Deathlock, and then the NWO enter the ring. Now, obviously, Eric Bischoff's a bit like, "What was he? He looks like he's in the NWO.
He's wearing all black, and the NWO have been stood at ringside, and they've not intervened once. They're just kind of letting him attack the NWO Sting. What does that mean? Oh, come on, Sting. Don't be like that. I put your face on a Slim Jim and a car, and you're in the magazine advert, and little stingers. Think of the little stingers, Sting.
This is where, without thinking of the little stingers, the NWO make their pitch to Sting to join them. Ted makes Sting an offer to step inside and be a part of the NWO. Kevin Nash quotes Jim Morrison telling Sting to break on through to the other side. Hall tells Sting he has nothing to show for carrying the company of WCW, and they want to show respect to him, the respect that he, Sting, deserves. Sting ponders this. And tells the NWO, that there, pointing at the fake Sting, is your cheap imitation. The real Sting might not be in your price range. The only thing for sure about Sting, nothing's for sure.
You couldn't afford me, bitch. Walks out.
You know I'm sexy. Don't call, just text me. And off he goes. Whoa!
This is what Bischoff deserves. Sting should join the NWO here. Change history. Just join the NWO and proceed to just beat up Eric every week.
Be fine.
Just stamp on him.
Just stamp on his neck.
Put Eric in the rafters and have a camera focused on Eric all week.
And if he tries to
move... Just picture for the entire show. He's got to stand there going, help! Screaming. And Sting, just every time, just slowly turns the mic down. And you see just a long shot of him going...
And if Sting tries to leave...
Oh, no, there's no trying to leave. He's like zip wired to that chair, like zip tied, and the chair's zip tied to like the rafters. There's an armed guard and everything.
Of course, there's an armed fucking guard.
Well, you know, like he might have a penknife on him.
I really liked Proto Crow Sting.
Yes.
This was a cool bit.
It's a bit, the makeup's a bit big on the face with, for, like, because it does just look like he's dressed like a mime initially.
Yes.
But it is just, it's sort of. What's he going to do? Where's he going to go? Like, is he going to join the NWO? Is this going to be a factor? Like, do we have to worry about this? Are we just going to have Savage as a last line of defense? Like, how does this possibly end if Sting goes bad?
Well, we're going to find out as time goes on. But meanwhile, Bischoff, as Sting is leaving, is having kittens going into the break because Randy Savage is here. He's here for the main event.
Oh, he must have been watching in a hotel and heard Eric say, Randy, come on down. I'm going to ruin your life some more.
Get down here, you coward.
Get down here, Randy.
It's Chris Benoit in the main event versus Macho Man Randy Savage, apparently. 6 minutes left on this episode of Nitro, and Savage is here all in black.
All black.
Looks great.
With round glasses as well. I like it.
Bischoff approaches Randy as he's walking down to the ring, and he apologizes for last week.
I'm sorry, Randy.
I'm sorry.
I'm so, so sorry, Randy.
But when you cried, yeah, I've watched that all week. It's just, I'm so sorry.
So erect. I mean, sorry. he says, however, right, I watched this following bit a few times to try and get my head around what's going on. So we'll talk through it. Mm-hmm. Eric says, I have something to show you, Randy, that shows the true nature of Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
Ahead of Halloween Havoc and how he's trying to get to you. So watch this now. Mm-hmm. We then get black and white footage from the set of Three Ninjas, which is the film that Hulk Hogan is in.
Yes, with Hogan dressed as a sort of somewhere between a He-Man and a putty from Power Rangers.
Basically, yes.
He's got a big, like, S&M strap with a button in the middle of it.
And his hair is, he's got like a hair piece that's...
His hair is giving me Axe from Demolition before he got fired or before he quit.
Nice.
When he just sort of grew it out and had like a normal conventional I work in an office haircut, even though he was part of Demolition with all that face paint.
It's very much like that. So he's here in his Three Ninjas acting attire and he talks to the director of the film and tells the director to fuck off because the NWO is now running
this
film.
We're taking over this show, buddy. Three Ninjas, Miracle Mountain is a Hulk Hogan feature. And that's how it's going to be.
Because they don't want... Body. They want to make sure that there's no deficit financially and they want to make sure that the business is run properly.
Good fucking luck with the box office on this one there,
so
lads.
The NWO. Yeah, they struggle. More on that next week. He brings... So Giant is here to film. He's, I guess, operating the camera and directing the following
there to be muscle,
scene.
But essentially, Giant is going to be the director. Hogan's going to be producer. So Hogan's going to worry about the finances. Giant's going to worry about the creativity.
And Hogan brings in the actor for the show, Miss Elizabeth.
Yes.
Who is very cross. Hogan is trying to get Liz to say down the camera that she loves Randy and she misses him. Hogan keeps telling Liz to bring Randy his head on a platter. Liz refuses and says, "This is, you know, you can't, you know, I'm not going to let you screw my life up again."
Yes.
Eventually, she goes back to her trailer.
She goes back to Hogan's trailer.
Hogan then follows her into the trailer where she's very upset.
Yes.
And Hogan says, what Hogan wants, Hogan gets. So you're going to go out there and you're going to do this scene. And then, so Hogan, so it's a really weird bit. Does this mean that last week when Liz was crying about wanting to get Savage back, that was Hogan setting it up?
She has been coerced into it.
She's been coerced into trying to get Savage back.
Giant's the director, right? Which means Hogan's saying, I want this, Liz. And the Giant, if you don't do this, the Giant's going to get that out of you.
Right. So it's all a lie then. And Liz doesn't want to get back with Randy.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
I think the crack with the story here is that Hogan has found a direct route to Savage is to go straight after Liz. Because Savage will care about Liz regardless of, you know, whatever's going on between them. Mm-hmm. So I think the way that he's looked at this is essentially, if I get Liz on my side, regardless of whether she wants to be or not, if I use Liz, I can get to Macho Man, which means I can have him rashly challenge me and I can beat him, get rid of him once and for all. But to do that, I need Liz to do this. And if Liz doesn't want to do this, then I'm going to make Liz do this.
Right.
And so Liz is now in the middle going, I don't want to do this. I'm sort of caught up in all this bullshit. And now I kind of want to be out of it. So I think it's sort of ringing more true with what she was saying last week. But she's been forced to kind of say it and she's been forced to go along with their plan, I think.
It's overly complicated. Yeah. Savage goes to leave after seeing all of this. He's as confused as we are. He then comes back.
Oh, you wanted a main event? Don't worry, he's come back.
He then says to Bischoff, it just occurred to me how fragile friendships and relationships can be. You and I, Bischoff, know how fragile business can be. Even marriage is fragile. But Hulk Hogan, life is fragile. To which he storms off, apparently to kill Hulk Hogan.
Not anymore.
That's how it ends, with Bischoff and co. being very worried that Randy Savage is literally just going to go and stab Hulk Hogan.
Well, maybe he will.
We'll find out on Sunday.
As long as it happens outside of the arena, it sort of takes care of the NWO problem for WCW, and Savage kind of gets the top spot.
It's easily done.
If he doesn't get caught and go down for it.
Fuck you, live crowd. Once again, you are not getting a Savage main event. No chance, Sundance.
No, you just don't get a main event at all.
No.
Screw yous.
Just get Benoit stood there. I would assume a match happens when it goes off air, but
Two weeks ago, there wasn't a dark
So, no, that's true.
The match just, oh, sorry, last week I don't think there was a dark match. So it was like, show ended with Savage just fucking off. So that's all. See you later, folks. Are,
they did the same here. Oh, this is just a weird end to a strange Nitro. We're getting, I mean, there's pieces in place, a very confusing jigsaw.
Yes.
We're building WCW versus NWO. Mm-hmm. The idea being that WCW was caught on the back foot with the NWO invasion.
Yeah.
So they're sort of scrambling to put up a team against them, which is why we see Jeff Jarrett hastily added to the Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
It's why we're begging for Savage and Sting to come back because they don't. WCW is very rudderless at the moment.
It's even more rudderless when the promoter's just pissing off all the talent.
And the promoter's pissing off all the talent as well. What did you make of Nitro this week?
It was an intriguing episode. I think, again, it's weird. Like, it feels like it comes in waves right now with the weekly TV, that it'll either be a good episode where a lot of interesting in-ring stuff happens, a good episode where maybe a lot more storyline stuff happens, but the matches are kind of crap. And I think it was sort of somewhere in between this week.
Somewhere in the middle. Yeah. Not the best, but hey, Halloween Havoc is on the way. It's going to break all kinds of
Slim Jim Halloween Havoc.
Sorry, Slim Jim Halloween Havoc. It's going to break all sorts of company records by all accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And we will watch it together, give you some retro reactions next time we're together.
Yeah.
Get this, right? So this is going out on the Thursday before the Royal Rumble.
Nice.
Which means this weekend, you can join Sam Driver and myself and Fraser Porter mm-hmm. and Matthew Gregg mm-hmm. at Box Park in Wembley.
Yeah.
For the Royal Rumble watch party with Hooked on Wrestling.
I'm not going to be able to drink throughout any of it.
Are you not drinking?
Well, I'll probably have like one or two, but I've got stuff to film.
Ah.
Loads of stuff to do. So
you can film better when you've had a beverage.
I definitely can't.
We have a very special, we're doing a quiz on stage. We are joined by our very special guest, WWE legend, Fred Ottman, a.k.a.
Tugger.
The Shockmaster, Big Tugger, Tugboat, Typhoon from the Natural Disasters. He's joining us on stage for a special Q&A, and we're going to have some fun on stage. We've got a big quiz planned. And we're all going to watch the Rumble together at Box Park in Wembley. I'm really buzzing. It's going to be a lovely weekend.
I don't really get any sleep.
No, that's fine. Sleep when I'm dead. It's my last weekend for my 40th. I'm going out swinging. Going out!
Tom's going out swinging in London, everybody, after the Royal Rumble.
Yes, we're all swinging afterwards. Oh, get your batons out. We'll have more wrestling news, of course, throughout the day at cultaholic.com. If you're listening on the podcast feed and you're wondering, where have the news podcasts gone, Tom, you fucking dick.
Lazy bastard.
The Cultaholic Wrestling News has its own podcast feed now, where you're getting 10-minute daily wrestling news every single morning when you start your day. I believe by now we should also have an Alexa flash briefing where you can say, Alexa, play Cultaholic Wrestling News, and it's there for you. It's good, that, isn't it?
Alexa, order industrial-sized vat of lubricant to my shopping list.
Do another one just so people can really have their day ruined.
Alexa, add 12-inch double-ender to my shopping list.
More double-enders.
Alexa, 12 acres of land, electrified fence, shopping list, please.
Alexa, when is the end of the world? He is at the Sound Driver. I'm at Tom Campbell together. We're at Cultaholic on Twitter. If you're watching on Patreon, that is a lovely hat made by Sam Driver's podcast notes. Oh. It's a lovely hat as well. Together, we're at Cultaholic. Don't forget to join us.
Cheers.
Cheers, and see you in Box Park.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.